Oh boy, I consent to being recorded.
I'm glad I have that on tape.
I don't
Officer,
know.
I'm traveling. I'm not driving, so you can't arrest me or whatever.
What is that? Good night, everyone.
Good night, Sam.
Good morning.
No, too soon. Mike Boris. We're just working our way through Akewood. That's October 2001. Great.
Okay.
It helps not to worry about it. So, Boris, you're the host. I should have told you that, I guess, huh?
Oh. Hello, and welcome to Brews Day Tuesday. A podcast about beer. Today we have Sam and Zach on. Zach,
what's up? I had a horrible stout last time. I can't remember if it was on the podcast or last time I drank a beer outside of my comfort zone. So I said, I'm not doing that anymore. That was a huge mistake. But right back in the comfort zone, right back in. Three Sheeps, Wisconsinitis, Cream Ale, will it dethrone the other cream ales of Wisconsin? Probably.
There you go.
It is. Yeah. It's
I appreciate 5%? That. We are too old to be pushing boundaries.
Look, you can't teach me new tricks. Everyone knows that. Strong color. It looks like, just picture a beer in your brain drawn like on The Simpsons. It looks like that. And then.
So it has like way too much foam.
Tons like of
every,
foam.
Every drawing ice of cold beer has mug. Way too much head.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I guess it's just because it's just like boring visually to draw an actual beer.
And it's always a mug with a big handle.
Fuck yeah. Those are better to drink out of. It is fun. It tastes like, I don't know. You get a little bit of a kind of like weedy finish. It does not veer into like wet newspaper, like if that's not done good. It is not as like sweet as I was expecting it to be. So I got a decent amount of bitterness on it. Totally fine. I'm unchallenged. I remain completely unchallenged by this. I won't have to reflect on it later.
I have the same experience, different style, but the same experience, just like, you know, a change up right down the center. I guess not a change up. Because that indicates a change. A fastball that's not very fast right down the center.
A medium ball.
Do they Google?
They don't
is
really
there
throw those
ball?
Anymore. It's weird.
Yeah, poor guy.
Snowy Owl, Red Rye Ale by Sketchbook Brewing Company, 5.6 ABV. I love a rye, whiskey or ale. Smells like rye, which is good, and like red beer. Oh yeah, that's exactly what it's supposed to be. And there's a ceiling on this style of beer. It can only impress so much, but they're doing it properly, which is good.
Awesome. Will you Rubes with your normal ass beer? I've got I'm pushing boundaries here with Stone Pilsner.
Jesus.
4.7. nice clean pour, tiny little bit ahead, not a crazy.
Did I take the ABV belt this week with 5.6?
You did.
I think so. Yeah.
Wacky.
Once again, man, too old. Too old to be pushing those boundaries. Yeah, I mean, look, this is a decent Pilsner. It's nice and crisp. A little bit of a bite to it, like a hoppy kick to it, but it finishes very clean. It's exactly what I'm looking for. It's a good time to be. It's always a good time to have a Pilsner. That's my opinion.
I'm happy for you. I'm trying to be more positive.
And Sam,
look, officer, it's always a good time.
All right. Officer, you forget it's a Pilsner.
All right, on your way. He's a lawyer. He knows. Yeah, let him go.
Well, that would work on Sam, because I don't think Sam believes that Pilsners like really count as beer. So
I have thought a lot about open container laws and like what's the difference between I just had a beer at a bar and I'm driving home and I'm driving home drinking a beer, like drinking the same beer?
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying.
I assume the answer is because it's there's slippery slope, yada yada. But when it's a distraction, extra distraction
of the car.
Sure.
Open liquid.
When I was a kid, I had heard the phrase "don't drink and drive," but didn't understand it. So when I was like 5 or 6, I admonished my mom for drinking a coffee while she was taking me somewhere.
So good.
And then that's a tough situation for her. Where do you start to begin to explain alcohol and its effects?
My mom just told me to shut up. She'd be like, mind your business. Like, I don't think she would have bothered in the moment to explain to me. That's like a later thing.
Mama didn't raise a little narc.
Shut the fuck up. When you're going to be a ward of the state? You think that's fun? You think a rich guy is going to buy you so you can live in his basement and fight crime? Not going to happen.
Next, you're going to be mad at me for not making you wear your seatbelt, you dumb 5-year-old.
Oh my God. That's a great story though, as a parent though, because you have to love when shit like that happens, because you're like, oh, I'm going to tell you about this at any public gathering from like age 12 to age 22. I'm going to bring this up.
Oh, I got to start stockpiling those, I guess.
Yeah, you got to do them as they happen.
I mean, I have 1,000. Hey, remember that time you shit your pants and I had to deal with it, but that's not that interesting.
You got to wait a little bit.
Okay, we've all introduced our beers. Sam did not prepare me with any articles for this episode, so
did they not come through?
If you want to throw,
they're in the chat. I got them.
Oh damn! All right, there they are. Sorry, I prematurely put Sam on blast, and that's my fault.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
Blasting and me and premature, those are three tastes that go great together.
I don't know why that phrasing specifically was like the worst thing possible.
I think the fact that I refer to it as a flavor is really what's off-putting about it.
Oof, yeah.
Well, you know what else is off-putting is cryptocurrencies. So let's go to the San Francisco Standard. Crypto Bro is buying storied Lower Hate Beer Bar. Will launch Tornado Cash Coin. That is the headline, and I can't really, I'm having trouble like parsing these words, so give me a second here. So he's bought like what looks like a dinky little bar, and he's launching a cryptocurrency behind it or something, or named after it.
Is this one of those things? Oh, it's not Tornado, by the way, it's Toronado.
Toronado,
letter kind of right in there. I'm guessing this is going to be one of those things where you can only buy product with crypto.
This is my whole thing with cryptocurrencies is like the stupidest thing about them is they're not a currency because you can't spend them on anything. You can't like use them to exchange for services or goods except in extremely limited and usually illegal ways. So if he's actually going to put his money where his mouth is, so to speak, and accept only cryptocurrency at this bar, I would actually be mildly impressed by that.
What I think I find most frustrating about cryptocurrencies is it's a pyramid scheme in that like the value is not based on anything like at all. It's truly just like how much do people want this thing that is nothing. Because if enough people want it, it will be worth more than when they wanted it. So, like, it's just nothing. And it sucks because it worked. Like, it's really frustrating to have, like, easily and clearly missed an opportunity where I was like, I'm not going to buy fucking Bitcoin. What is it? It's fucking nothing. And then I could have made we all easily could have been billionaires with very minimal financial investment, sort of like 2016. Like,
I bought one and they were like, $50, and I sold it when it was like $100 because I was like, this is stupid and the highest it'll ever be, and the fact that I made $50 on it and I can like go out to dinner with the money I made on this stupid thing
that was worth $100,000 at some point this past year.
Yeah,
like how crazy is that?
Insane.
And the thing is, like you said, that like feeling of the missed opportunity is why the pump and dump schemes keep working. Like,
yep,
right.
Surely this meme coin is the one that's going to be the next Bitcoin, and I got to get in on it.
It's true, but you just have to sell in 10 minutes. Like, you just have to, like, immediately buy it and sell it. Like,
did you guys?
You have to be, like a bot to, like, resell it in, like, microseconds. Like, it's insane.
Did you see the, like, Hawktua girl made her, made, like, a cryptocurrency, and she, like, dumped it immediately and, like, just ran out with the bag, like the Monopoly burglar guy?
She is actually a fucking genius. Like, honestly, she immediately, she threw on cowboy boots, got into, like, she never got into a full conservative grift, but then, like, did a crypto grift, got the same people, got famous for hypothetically sucking dick, which is, like, way easier psychologically than an OnlyFans. Like, just nothing but just straight nothing but net for her for, like, 18 months in, like, the most impressive way. I can't even think of modern times somebody with that good of a run who got out before, like, everybody just, like, decided they hated them. Like, I remember when everybody hated Jennifer Lawrence for, like, a year because we were just sick of looking at her.
She never even really did anything wrong.
No.
She just was – it's an oversaturation issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone just was like, I'm sick of you now. And, like, celebrities can't deal with that because they get really famous. And they're like, what do you mean you're sick of me now? I'm doing even more than ever. And they're like, yeah, we hate that about you.
And now why has that not come for The Rock yet?
Dude, it's kind of – remember all those rumors that came out that he ruined Black Adam and that he's, like, really hard to work with and shit? Like, the cracks are showing in no pun intended, like, a rock solid entertainment foundation that he had.
I just – it seems like –
Chris Pratt?
Another great example. Why are we still – why am I still looking at these two men?
I fucking don't like them.
There are other people, and some of them are talented.
I don't want it to be Glenn Powell. He's just very bland.
Oh, dude.
He's a bland, handsome person. I don't find him super charismatic. I don't find him bad. He's just very neutral to me, and I don't want to see it anymore.
As long as they don't come for my boy, Timothy.
Sweet Timothy. Sweet Timothy is like
at least he's golden interesting. Child
of Hollywood.
Protect Timothy Chalamet at all costs.
I think he's a year away. He's a year away from everybody. You know what? If he goes on SNL one more time, it'll flip. People will be like, you know what? Fuck Timothy Chalamet. And you'd be like, what's happening? Why? He's just in good movies all the time.
It's like the SNL parabola. It's like, if you do it once or twice, you're cool. And then it's like,
Shane Gillis should have stopped after one.
And weirdly, way at the end of that, after you've done it like 20 times, you're Alec Baldwin and you shoot someone to death. So you definitely don't want to do it that many times.
Yeah, you never want to SNL your way to killing a guy.
Definitely not. It's bad to do that. It might be a crime. But do you think he is a victim? Like, how much of a victim is he in that situation? Because it sucks, right? Because he didn't want to shoot a person, right? He was like, I'm going to shoot a fake gun, bang, for my movie. And then that person, like, actually died, but he was also negligent running the movie. So it's like, he's like a sandwich of, like, victimhood.
But also, it wasn't, like, during shooting, right? It was, like, between takes, he was fucking around.
Oh, was he?
That was my understanding. I wasn't there. The, like, armorer, or whatever you call that job, has to take the top blame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
But then also, on some level, whoever hired this guy who maybe didn't have an up-to-date licensure, and then, you know...
I think was Alec Baldwin. Who hired that? Right. I think it was a woman, but yeah, Alec Baldwin, I think, was like producing the movie.
I think he was probably running a little bit of a grift ship, and so is responsible on some level.
Yeah, like I pretty firmly believe that we should punish the people who eat company fucks up, and so I think if you're the chief officer in charge of a movie where it's pretty clear people are saying that like. They were bypassing safety protocols all over the place to, like, get the movie done cheaper and quicker, then you should suffer consequences. So, like, I think the BP guy should have to eat shrimp drowned in oil, like, every day for the rest of his life. Like, whoever the CEO of BP was, you know, 10 years ago.
The Exxon guy
should be washing ducks every day for the rest of his life. Fucking Rex Tillerson should be out there with Dawn soap. Just washing penguins.
Or dude, do you think they really put oil on them for those commercials? Because, like, they couldn't have filmed 10 years of commercials of this one oil spill. So, like, what are they doing to do, because in the commercial, I know it's not oil, but it's some sort of fake substance on these animals that they just don't like, need to have on them. They're like, now wash it off with the soap to show it's powerful. And it's like, this is just activated charcoal and like water and like a paste. Like,
yeah,
like,
fake blood or something. It's like syrup.
Yeah, it's like, is it real? It can't be real. So it's like, why waste our time? Because you're not actually washing oil off that duck. Like, just say it's good. Just show me you washing food. That's all I need. Like, that's all I needed to do.
Or they said, let's, after the spill, can we set a dozen of these ducks aside? We have an idea for them later.
We need progressively better and better cameras so that these hold up in modern times. We're just going to have like a fucking like space camera on this thing.
Look, there's new oil spills every few years, so they might just have
just go
dip in the oil spill, the latest one. We need a dash, boys.
Dude, they should definitely, you're 100% right. Dawn should 100% do a commercial with like a fucking captain of a boat just like covered in oil. Just be like, I fucked up again. And it's just them washing him. Like, I feel like that would be a bajillion times better than washing a duck. Like, he's like struggling because he's still drunk. They're like, hold him still. He's all greasy. They're just trying to get him washed.
Man, I hate telling people what I do for a living. Maybe I'll start saying that I'm an animal wrangler on ad sets and I mostly just throw birds into like buckets of oil and say, okay, now clean this guy.
Hey, I'm a duck washer. Yeah.
Excuse you? Am I Oha?
Yeah, you know.
Duck. That you's doing a lot of work. It's doing a whole lot of work.
You got a dirty duck, I'm your guy.
Oh my god.
So it seems like this article is nothing. Like,
it's like a crypto guy bought a bar or something.
Oh yeah, dude. Fuck this guy. I'm so jealous of him, and I know I would hate him if I met him.
It says Parrot kept his plans for the bar close to the chest.
Dude, his last name is Parrot? Come on.
Ryan Parrot? There's no way this is his real name.
I fucking hate this guy. I am jealous. So I don't want the one commenter we get being like, you're just jealous. I am jealous, and I know that I would hate this person just like so much.
This is very funny though, because the whole point of this article is he told some people in a private Telegram chat, and now it's in a newspaper.
He's behind that shitty bar in town.
So like, maybe everyone
feels like a Hallmark movie.
Maybe everyone could take a lesson to be careful what you share in private group chats.
What if he just fucking loves this bar? And he goes, you know what? I made a shit ton of money on crypto. The bar I really like is closing. I'm just going to buy it. And what if he turns it around and it's the best bar of all time and it's not some horrible crypto scam in there all the time?
Now it's a different Hallmark movie than I think you were indicating earlier.
He falls in love with the bartender who already worked there, and like she's taking care of her younger sister who's, you know, because their parents died really young. So she had to drop out of pre-med to tend this bar, right? So she's got potential to be more than she is. Which
is
always
a problematic power
place.
Dynamic, and we're gonna overlook that because they're in love.
Yeah. But he integrates right in the family. The little sister is really precocious because she's got no father figure. Just all sorts of good stuff.
Is that like something that you guys would do if you somehow randomly came into a couple million? Would you buy a bar?
Not for a couple million. If I came into a billion, yes, 100%. Okay. I would be very hands off.
If it was like so much money that you like genuinely wouldn't even notice it was gone.
I would have bought the Rustic 100% if I had had $1 billion and knew that they were going to close. That would have been sick. I would definitely would have done that. I used to think so much more than a bar. I used to always talk about buying Michael Jordan's house if I got $1 billion. And it makes Holly really mad. I don't know why. She's like, that would be so irresponsible. I'm like, it literally wouldn't be because I'd have $1 billion. And so $13 million is nothing. Also, I don't know if you heard me. It's Michael fucking Jordan's house. It's been for sale since like 2002. Somebody bought it this year and I'm so pissed. And he wouldn't lower the price because he's like, fuck it, I don't need the money. I'm just going to keep it where it's at. And it fucking worked. It was empty for like legit 10 years. And he had to pay for upkeep. It looks
property tax,
like a,
probably.
Oh, 100%. He's dead, taking care of all that shit. He doesn't give a fuck. He's a billionaire also. We're peers in this scenario. And I would be like, oh.
Michael Jordan.
No, I was like, you know what? I'll try to talk him down. I'll be like, look, there's all this Michael Jordan like sculpture work in here. I'm gonna have to get rid of. There's all these like 23 shit in here. You're gonna have to knock a couple mil off the price because I'm gonna have to redo this whole house. I wouldn't touch shit. I would leave it all exactly the way it was. I get Space Jam sheets and I put them on my California king bed, and I would wear Michael Jordan's big ass shoes that he left on the walls, like snowshoes, up to bed every night.
How much was it?
It was like 13 mil.
That like seems 12. Like there are enough people that could just like drop 13. Like, how is it for sale for that low?
It's a steal. You're exactly a steal. This Michael Jordan's DNA is all over this house, guys. So we have a chance to clone him.
Actually, I don't know.
It's everywhere.
I kind of like that. I don't know the I never met the people whose house we bought. Like, everything was done through the real estate agents, so that whenever I find some stupid fucking thing they did, I don't really have someone directly to be angry at. I just like vaguely know who they are.
Yeah.
I know their names because we get all their stupid fucking mail, and that's about it. And I think they went to Ireland. They were Irish and went back to Ireland, which is a very Boston thing to say. but they fled the country, I guess.
Ireland?
Yeah, well, it was, because like we're redoing our bathroom right now and none of the fucking drains were vented.
Uh-oh.
Assholes. Anyways. Cool. Beer. Beer stuff. So that was a dumb article. Let's see if we can find a not dumb article. From the Northwest Beer Guide. At two unique crossroads, Maritime Pacific Brewing Company hands over the reins to Rooftop Brewing Company. I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, man, I love how specific this article is. Like, I actually love that this is for literally no one except Sam, like earlier today when he was looking for articles. Like,
it's like that you get like the company email that's like, this executive you've never heard of has stepped down. We thank them for their service. This other person you've never heard of is stepping in and is going to continue to not matter at all in your life.
I'm looking at the prices in this old sepia picture, and they were doing growler fills for $10.
I feel like that was a thing until
the best
10 years ago. And then
until COVID.
Kind of, yeah. It's funny, Zach, you might know Harpoon Brewing Company, which is like
kind of big
in Boston. Harpoon. Everyone knows Harpoon. Okay, I don't know how far they distribute. So they used to have like a little place in an area of Boston that was like basically just parking lots, and you could go and do a tasting for free, and they basically just gave you a glass, and you had like an hour, and you could just kind of go nuts. and they had some like. They had some like 11% beer, so we would like go there in college and just like get trashed and and I feel like we'd get growlers to bring home, and the growlers were like, yeah, something like $10. I don't know, like pretty cheap. It's like
the growlers one that's gonna be, I think that's probably permanently dead from COVID.
Yeah, I don't see growlers out there anymore. Really,
I have fucking 5 growlers over there. They're gonna be empty forever. Okay, I guess I should get rid of them. I get crowlers every now and then, but it's the just cans. Not the same vibe.
Yeah, no, the growler always did feel like it felt like a good deal. I genuinely don't know if they were or not. They were probably like a couple bucks cheaper than like a 6-pack or something.
Yeah,
but
part of it is the experience, like something about, like
jug.
Something about having that big jug of beer in your fridge and just being
awesome.
It's Friday night. I'm going to crack open this growler.
There were definitely times Emily was out of town that I was just drinking directly out of the jug watching TV. And every time I look at my kids, I think I remember what I used to have.
You're so prospector core, just like a classic like prospector core Sam move.
It really is.
Have you guys seen my cross pickaxes over my shoulder?
Oh, yeah. It's a big XXX jug. He's eating beans out of a can cold.
With the
starting a fire in his living room.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so cool. Beans. Wait, your kids go out of town, just have a bean out.
Hell yeah. You mentioned, Boris, the experience of being at a bar and everything's already paid for. Yeah. I had one of those for the first time in a very long time this weekend.
This was
such a strange social situation, and I don't even have a story. I just want to tell you what happened and see what you guys think. It was a friend's birthday, so she invited everyone to, I don't know if you guys know Yohara Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a distillery that with like a, I guess you don't call it a tap room, with a bar area.
Yeah.
And so they apparently paid up front. They were like, put everything on one tab and we'll pay for it at the end, which is like a fucking baller move. But the thing is that we only know this woman because our kids are friends with her kids. So they were, so she was like, bring your kids. And we were like, do a drinking thing, whatever. And so I knew there would be some kids. I didn't expect the median age at this place to be like 7. So it was just all kids screaming and running in circles while like, well, I had like fucking fancy cocktails. And I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with any of this.
That's, yeah, that's kind of weird. I don't know. People complain about like kids at breweries and I don't know. I think that's kind of silly. Like let parents bring their kids. It's the one little joy that we get and it needs, it's like a good place. Usually there's lots of space. It's a place you can just kind of dip if you need to.
I think it depends on the brewery.
Like, it's not committal like a restaurant though. Like you're totally right. Like you can just swing out for a second.
Yeah, it's like a casual vibe and we're really only there till like 5 p.m. and then you can have your little adult party at the in the evening once the kids are home for dinner and bedtime. But yeah, a distillery, that's just like a little
Place was way too fancy for how many little dipshits were running around, but I guess they like in advance were like, we're gonna have this many people, you might want to like put up a private event sign. They didn't, so there was just this one couple there.
Wow, so you got randos in the middle of this too.
Just two of them, and like she explained the situation to them and they were like, okay. And then she was like, there's a bunch of pizzas if you want some pizza. And they were like, cool. So I think they stayed longer because there was free pizza. But they had to deal with screaming children. So I don't know if that really affected their time.
Fair trade. Not my kids, not my problem. Any screams, I don't have to worry about. It's just white noise to me. That's definitely worse if you have a kid in the mix. Because then you're like, is that scream my kid screaming? I don't give a shit. That's just like, whatever. Some kid's doing something stupid.
We did hit a little bit of a takes a village situation. Mm-hmm. Like I only knew, we didn't know pretty much anybody there. It was the one family, and it was like a bunch of her friends. But there were definitely times where a kid was talking to me, and I was like, I don't know you, but like there's enough people here that I think everyone's on the same page that like no perverts allowed.
Let's hang out with the kids. Yeah,
and sometimes a kid would scream and I would think it was my kid and then they would just be back at some point and be like, okay, fine. One kid asked me if he could have a juice box.
Hell yeah.
What I said was, I don't think it's in my jurisdiction to answer that question, which is not like how a child is going to understand, but like, I don't want to say yes. I want to say no.
You have to ask your parents, dude.
I think maybe he thought they were my juice boxes.
Just ask. Hey, I won't tell anybody is probably what I would say. But like, look, I don't give a shit. It's not going to kill you. You'll be fine.
Here's a dollar.
It's paint. He's not like, can I eat all this paint? I'd be like, don't do that. You shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't have secrets with little kids, no matter what the secret. Just don't do that.
Look, I was told perverts were allowed at this party. I asked when we came in. You said it was fine. You can't get mad at me now. It's the rules.
Yep. You've been invited in like a vampire.
Yeah, it's like Dracula. No, I actually, so I have two stories about kids and breweries. One, at my wedding, it was like very small, but the only kids there were like, was like the youngest kid there was my nephew, who's like 11, one of my sister's kids. And we got married in the Capitol, went to Youngblood Brewing for like a little like cocktail hour kind of thing because a restaurant was going to charge us like $1,200 for a cocktail hour, we were like, that brewery opens right when our ceremony ends and it will cost $0 and it holds 90 people. So we won't feel bad about bringing like 12 people to it. And whatever. So we go and my sister's like, we're going to a brewery. I'm like, first of all, it's Wisconsin. Like everything's a brewery. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
If you go into any building, it's a brewery. A kindergarten probably has a bar in it. And so we go in, she's being an asshole about it. Like her precious kid's going to be traumatized by this brewery. He's 11. And we walk in there and there's literally two other kids, like his exact age, just already in the brewery. And I was like, literally he can go play with those two strangers. Like they seem like they have a lot in common, both being 11 and all. There's kids over there. He has a blast. It's great. We get it. We're in and out there in like an hour. And I was just like you said, they're not, nothing bad's going to happen because the kids are in a brewery. I think it's worse the other direction. I think we got to stop bringing alcohol into kids' spaces. I was at a Dave and Buster's for a work event. And I know Dave and Buster's is like marketed to adults, but like arcades in general, if kids are allowed in an arcade, I should not be able to buy a Long Island iced tea in that same location. That's just like my opinion on the whole situation. I don't feel good getting drunk in a Dave and Buster's. Because I'm like, this is a space for like 9-year-olds to hang out. You shouldn't be drunk at it. I like IO Bar, which is an adults-only arcade bar.
Yeah, like you are now more of a risk to those machines than the kids are.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a lot of risk to incur in one arcade is kids spilling stuff and adults spilling stuff.
And they don't ask. They're like, have you had another Long Island previous to this? Which is an important question if someone's ordering a Long Island. Like, you should only get one. They should stamp you at any bar where any adults are. If you get one Long Island, you get a stamp on you. And you're like, all right, you like, can't get one of the good ones Long Island.
That you can only see under blacklight or something.
So yeah.
Off, right? Like,
they should tag me like a fucking wild deer.
You your fucking skin, yeah.
Yeah.
You really only get one for a lifetime.
They could just have, like, Saturday is dirtbag night. No kids allowed on Saturdays. Yeah. Get as drunk as you want. And, like,
guys,
it doesn't have to be two locations because we have this other dimension called time that we can work in.
Dude, dirtbag night is, like, the best. If we Bitcoin buy a bar, it has to have dirtbag night. Dirtbags drink half off. Like, fuck ladies night. Women have had it too good for, like, 1.5 years, like, a couple years ago. And then that's their time. It's dirtbag time now.
Yeah, show your ID at the door and tell us the dirtiest, baggiest thing you've done.
Yes! We have to verify you're a dirtbag and you get a stamp that says you're a dirtbag on it. And then you get to drink half off.
Should we go around the horn and tell our dirtbag night stories?
Our dirtbag stories? Oh, boy.
Okay. I guess I have to go first. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to build to it or if I should just go first.
No, I'll start. I made out with a girl at a party who hated me because she was confused about my identity. So it's not as bad as it sounds, but it is kind of bad. Basically, I had hooked up with her friend, and because it was a frisbee romance, and everyone called me by my last name, she would complain to her friend, I can't believe Ginsburg did this, I can't believe Ginsburg said that. But I introduced myself to her as Sam, and then 20 minutes later, we were making out, and then we ran into this mutual acquaintance, we'll say, and she's not happy about it.
All right. Zach, what do you got?
Oh, gosh, it's so hard. It's like, okay, there's so many, like, angles of dirtbagness. I think just, like, a classic Dirty Bird moment. Was I once was put in handcuffs in college because I was busted by an off-duty police officer having sex with a girl by a dumpster.
Pretty good.
That whole sentence, I was like, well, that's not very dirtbag. Oh.
And I was like, I'm sorry. Is it a crime to boink by a dumpster?
I have to go deal with petulant children, but please don't stop telling your dirtbag stories.
Okay. I like,
but yeah, he ended up just.
The problem is the dumpster, like the proximity. Oh,
yeah, it doesn't help. It's, you look different. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad I already said in the past what I said, and I'm not about to say it right now. But like the thing was, as soon as the guy put me in cuffs, I had the confidence of a white person. the interaction. So I was just like, what's your badge number? Like, let me actually see your badge. Because he was just wearing plain clothes. He wasn't wearing, I was like, this is just some fucking psychopath with handcuffs.
And he knows you're down for weird shit, so.
Yeah, he was like, I saw you, you've committed some crime. I was like, we had a reasonable attempt at privacy. We're clearly here by this dumpster. Like, I'm pretty sure in court that holds up. And he was like, what? Like, and he was like, do you have any drugs on you? And I was like, no. And I was like, I said no, but I thought to myself, sadly, no. But I said no. Sadly. And he was like, all right, get out of here. And I was like, was that a guy trying to rob me for drugs or is that actually a cop? And I still don't know. Like, I actually still am not 100% sure who that person was. So I never saw that.
It could have been both.
That's totally true. Could have been a dirty cop, which made sense because he was hanging around by dumpsters.
All right. I don't know. I think the dirtbaggiest story I have, the one I can think of now is like a spring break trip a long time ago in college. We were on some beach in Florida and just like, it was just like the classic, like lots of college kids drunk on a beach. And like these random girls wandered up to us and one of them just genuinely like could not keep her top in the right place. It just kept falling. And I don't remember the logistics of how that was happening, but we were all just like, wow, what a train wreck. What is going on? And then at some point she was standing next to me and just like, she started kissing me. And so we were just like making out on the beach. And I was just like, I don't know who you are. I don't know why you can't keep your bathing suit on. And then she like said a bunch of really racist shit. And so she and her friends, we were just like, all right, we're going to go over here now because you're not good people. Bye.
So you made out with a Nazi.
I did. It's weird to make out with a really drunk girl who you're like, awesome. She's showing me some nipple, and then she starts dropping the N-word, and you're like, oh, no.
Wow.
She thought you were going to be totally cool with that, too. So I don't know what that says about what vibes you were putting out.
I mean, look.
She was like, this is safe.
It was a bunch of fat dudes on a beach in Florida, so it was, like, probably a good gamble on her part, but...
Were you in the panhandle? Were you in the panhandle, or were you in, like, Miami area?
Yeah, this was Panama City.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, like,
that's kind of Florida, but it's the South, actually. Corner.
It's the South part, yeah.
Yeah, that was, we drove there from Boston and it was like a 26-hour drive and we were a bunch of dudes in college. So we were just like, oh, we're just going to like do this straight through, right? Like just rotate drivers. And that was probably the single worst day of my life. it's maybe up there because that was brutal.
Speaking of this racist thing, what is the most, and you probably can't repeat what it was, what's the most memorable thing that a woman has said to you in an intimate moment, whether that's like literally during sex or during like a hookup opportunity, that you're like, I can't believe that. Like, is there anything that stands out similar to racist Florida girl in a moment of passion?
Ooh.
Cause I've got one.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
So the one that stands out to me the most, and this was mid-coitus, if I can be disgusting for a moment. She said to me, don't worry, I can't get pregnant. And we were young enough at the time where I remember thinking, that must be kind of tragic, like kind of a tragic thing, because we were like 20. I was like, that's actually kind of sad, like if I really think about it for any amount of time whatsoever. Like, did she expect me to be like, noise, but I would be like, oh, I'm sorry, that must be pretty tough for you, like, you know, long term speaking. But I think about that sometimes.
Were you wearing a condom for this?
Of course not. No, I wasn't, because I wasn't being responsible, but I didn't need to be. As she reassured me, I didn't need to be.
Oh shit, she's back.
She's not back. I can't see her. I can't see her on camera. He's trying to get out of it.
Okay, never mind.
I don't know.
Well, I guess since she's down here, what's the narciest thing you ever said to me?
What?
She's pleading the fifth or whichever one.
Yes, the fifth.
I'm pleading the second. She shoots you.
Honestly, I have it coming. It's fine. I had an okay run.
Man, I don't have anything good for this, and I think that's kind of sad.
You just had the best one. Someone whispered racist nothings to you on a beach in Florida.
These were not whispered, Zach. not whispered.
Surely she checked over her shoulders both ways and then said it.
Oh boy, no. No, that was, yeah, that Deep South racism, they're not shy about it.
Let's move on.
Yeah, I don't have anything for this. Sorry.
Sam skipped his turn. That's fine.
Close. Okay, let's go to our last article here. Anderson Valley Brewing sold to local wine veteran. Whoa, we got some beer wine crossover episode coming here. So tragic. I do actually know Anderson Valley, unlike the last article's breweries. They make a few beers that I can't think of the name of right now.
They make Anderson Valley Barney Flats Oatmeal Stout, of course.
Mm, of course, which of course.
Tyler had on episode 24 and gave a 6.
Wow, dude, 24? We had no idea. What year was that?
Jeez.
You guys were just like college kids, right?
The podcast itself didn't start until after graduation, but this would have been like 2014 probably.
Okay.
Wow.
And then episode 85, he had Anderson Valley Blood Orange Goza, which he gave a 5.9.
Okay.
I can't believe he didn't like that.
Then not that long after that, he had the Kimmy, the Yink, and the Holy Goza. Why is that a series of words? He gave that a 3. And rounding it out, on episode 138, he had Heelcho Hops, which is a very gross name. And he also gave that a 3.
So he hates this brewery.
Not a whole lot of fandom for this place on here.
No, but he's drinking like 6 Gozas out of this place. Like, man, switch it up.
I think this was when he was in California and his selection wasn't great.
He hated Gozas, right? Like he hates them?
I think this might have been when they first came out, and we might have been having Gozas for the novelty.
Because if I recall, amongst the things he hates, like capitalism, Italians, and other things, I think Gozas are in there. They're in that pile.
Yeah, totally.
Man, things Tyler hates is that's a long list. That could be a segment, a recurring segment.
I would listen to memoir. Him. You got to let him kvetch. You got to let him be like, Tyler, tell us about one thing you hate and why. You could let him go for like 15.
Really? Okay. We never quite replaced Andy Rooney when he died. Should it be Tyler?
I'm tired, and I don't like how I'm on 60 Minutes. So, kids, if you're listening to this, Andy Rooney was a guy on a news TV show from the late 90s and early 2000s called 60 Minutes. It's still on TV, but Andy Rooney died like 15 years ago. And he did a segment at the end where he just complained. That was on a prestigious news program.
Was there a name for that, or was it just Andy Rooney's time to gripe?
There was a name, and I don't remember what it was.
I'm Googling it.
Yeah, we're going to look
it up. But it was something cute, where it was kind of like how Mr. Rogers had like a pre-title. It was like that, but with Andy Rooney, he was just like, I am very Jewish in the way that I communicate about the world.
A Few Minutes with Andy Rooney.
A Few Minutes, yeah.
At the end of 60 Minutes, they were like, we've got a few left.
Yeah.
Yes, they were like, we only had 55 minutes of news. Like, what are we going to do? And he would be like, I don't like airplane magazines. What am I going to do? Buy it on the plane? And you mail it? What? Who is it for? And then the show would end. And they just told you about a rape murder, like 30 minutes before that.
Yeah. Well, the Anderson Valley Brewing Company is originally listed for $7.9 million, which makes it about half of a Michael Jordan house.
Yeah, it's a couple bedrooms.
I would way rather have a Michael Jordan house than two Anderson Valleys.
Again, you're 100% correct.
Yeah, I got to give you that one. Because you probably can't live at Anderson Valley if you want to and, you know, look for the secret portal into Toon Land.
Mm-hmm. Man, I hope he had at least one really realistic looking tunnel painted on a wall somewhere.
You gotta have like a little Looney Tunes area.
Lean into it.
Yeah,
exactly. To get the stalkers away from him. This story reminds me of Michael Jordan in a couple ways. Mostly this one way that I'll tell you about now. a vineyard person buying a brewery to me is like Michael Jordan playing basketball or baseball. Like, just stick to what you know. Like, you don't, this is a whole different world. And like, you got to just stick with wine vineyards. Don't get in this brewery game. Like, what are you doing? I'm sure you make the best wine in the Anderson Valley, whatever state that is in. And, you know, you shouldn't change it up from that.
It does make me wonder if there's like some supply chain thing they're trying to fill. Like, it's not that they actually care about the brewery, but there's some delivery pipeline that they want to be able to take advantage of or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's some juicy juice down here in the middle of the article, which is basically the guy who purchased it founded a hip winery with his then wife, Suzanne, in 2008, but it became part of a dispute in their divorce. The judge eventually granting ownership of the property to Suzanne.
Ooh.
Gentlemen.
Oh, so this is, he didn't buy a Corvette or get a tattoo. He bought a brewery instead.
A pretty cool move,
I guess.
I can't wait to came to purchase to all the 20-year-olds in my brewery.
Yep. In spite of not being a beer drinker himself. Yeah, this is totally like a weird post-divorce midlife crisis.
Is he going to become a beer drinker, or is it this strictly a financial thing for him?
He's an idiot if it's strictly financial. He's a
moron. I don't know, dude. I feel like breweries print money, but that's just...
We've read so many articles about how they don't.
They're going out of business constantly. Ones,
obviously, mine would be better.
Yeah, I'll get it right. I'll do it different. Everybody else was an idiot.
Sure, I don't know
what... They sold enough hazy IPAs. Like. I've never had it before, but this is brown.
Yeah, that's dude, step number one. Make sure your menu is only hazy IPAs and 12% pastry stouts.
Dude, I feel like if you were going to do this, you need to lean in that you don't know fuck about what you're doing. And just all your beers should be called like the brown one, the yellow one, like the red one.
With bubbles.
With lots of bubbles. Lots and your bubbles. People are like, hell yeah. Bubbles.
Yeah, I mean, look,
business ideas today. I feel like we did a bump before this.
All right, let's rate these beers.
Sure thing.
I'll kick it off. I had Stone Pilsner, an American Pilsner by Stone Brewing Company. 4.7% ABV. There's a little paragraph on the back that I didn't read you guys, so I'll read it to you now.
Is it about how fucking intense this Pilsner is about to be?
It takes a skilled brewer. Sam, you'll appreciate this. It takes a skilled brewer to make a great Pilsner. We've been honing our skills for more than a quarter of a century. Originally brought to America by German immigrants, Pilsners have evolved through the creativity of American brewers and ingredient growers. Classic, crisp, and crushable with a light touch of cashmere and Vista hops for good measure. This is a Pilsner for the people. So there you go. You know,
I don't know how much they're paying their PR department, but it's too much.
It's a good Pilsner. I don't know what to sell you. It's nice and light. Like they said, it's crisp. I think the hops have a nice kick to it, but finishes clean as a good Pilsner should. I'm drinking for the weather I want, not the weather I have, because it fucking sucks here and I'm waiting for it to get warm. I will give this a 7. And I will recommend it to anyone who's wishing for spring, because it's gloomy as hell over here. Sam, how did you like your beer?
Yeah, I had Sketchbook Snowy Owl Red Rye Ale. It's a red rye ale that's right down the center. I like how rye tastes, and I don't mind a red ale, so that's all good. It's pretty unremarkable. Like, it's a little bit hoppy, it's a little bit malty, it's a little bit rye. I think this is good in that it's, I think, probably just as crushable as yours, but at a 1% higher ABV. But it's just the ceiling on this is not super high. It's near the ceiling, but it's just 6.8 is as high as this is going to go. And I'll recommend this to people who like a red rye ale because it's one of them.
There you go. Zach, what did you have?
This guy, also brought to America by German immigrants, had Three Sheeps, Wisconsin-itis, cream ale, 5.0% ABV. This was a beer of all time, just the whole podcast about beers of all time. It was totally fine. It was unchallenging. I like that it didn't taste like a candle. I like that it didn't challenge me in any way. If you just value the path of least resistance, just get some of this. This is fine.
You're just tumbleweed coasting through life.
If you're just trying to drift through life, you know, this is your thing. In no way like buying Michael Jordan's house with your Bitcoin money. I'd recommend it to if you're just a cool guy, you're just like a chill, cool guy. You'd enjoy this. I give it a 5.1.
All right. There you go. All right. That'll do it for this episode of Brews Day Tuesday. If you want to tell us something cool or the dirtiest thing anyone's ever said to you or share your dirtbag story, email us at brewstwos@gmail.com.
Liddell, let's go to Zach. Do you have it, Zach?
I've emailed you, another dirtbag story that I thought of that was even more offensive.
Do you know the email? Because Boris clearly doesn't.
BrewsDayTuesdayPodcast@gmail.com?
That's correct.
All right.
Confidently done. Ice cold.
Email us at that email address. Don't tweet at us because we fucked that up real good.
We forgot the password. We fucked it up real bad.
We fucked that up real good. What is are we on Blue Sky or something at this point?
Yeah. Brewsday Tuesday on Blue Sky.
Good little liberals. Okay. Yeah.
What's their thing? Is it .bluesky.app? What's their thing again?
I think you can just say at Brews Day Tuesday. There's a weird trailer at the back half that no one really looks at.
So hit us up on the cool social network, Blue Sky. Don't let the bastards keep you down, and we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Ooh, we should see you next Tuesday. Tyler, write that down.
Where are you at, Tyler? Bye.
So many good ideas today. Bye. Here comes a beer. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy, forget about your problems. Here comes a shot, lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy, forget about your problems. This one's on me, fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine, you feel better.
Man, I got like really into Blue Sky like on purpose. And I got sick of it.
It's a pyramid scheme. Yeah, you gotta get in on the ground floor.
That's right.
I found that most posts were just George Takei. Most posts that like I liked were just George Takei saying opinions that I shared. And that's cool for a while because I like George Takei and I like when people agree with me. But
yeah,
you got to have a little more going on than that.
I don't like tariffs as an economic policy.
Oh my.